The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Before just for a few minutes, let me just share a word with us briefly. Because I've not been around before now, can we just bow down our head? I'm the one praying now, not you. You've been prayed up so hot. In fact, don't bother. Just raise your head. I can feel the prayer you prayed earlier. No need. The Lord is good. Honestly, I can feel it. I'm really feeling heavily anointed, so no need. Let's not make a religion out of it. I can feel it. All right? You prayed for me, I'm sure. So I can feel it. The Lord is good. All right, quickly, open your Bible to Psalm 132. I'll just share something with us briefly, and then I'm out of here. Akuna will complete the prayers once I finish this sharing, and Chinedu will continue carrying her baby. All right, just one thing I want to share with us from Psalm 132. That's an interesting principle which we have seen here and there, but just feel like encapsulating it in a short term exhortation this afternoon. Where I'm going is, let's start from verse 1, but where I'm going is really far down. No, sorry, just to save time, let's start from verse 10. Alright? He said, "For the sake of David, thy servant, do not turn away the face of thine anointed. For the Lord has sworn to David a truth from which he will not turn back. All the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne." Now notice verse 12, which is what I'm teaching on briefly for this few minutes. "If your sons," verse 12, "will keep my covenant and my testimony which I will teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forever." Please, I want to understand something here. There was a covenant, alright, that God made. And when you see the word David in the Bible, like this kind of context here, I want to just explain something to us briefly. It does not refer to David as the king of Israel, per se. Now, David stood as a type of somebody bigger than him, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? So when you see the sure mercies of David, we don't have time to go into the details of the exegesis right now, but the point is that he's referring to Jesus Christ, not really to David as a person. Because, for example, when Peter was preaching, he said that David said, "You will not leave your Holy One to see corruption." Do you understand what I'm saying? And that was a quotation concerning, it appeared like David was the one speaking from the Psalms. He now said that, but notice something, both David's body and his bones are here with us. His decomposed body, we know where it is. His sepulchre is with us. He said, therefore, that could not have been referring to David as a person, but that it referred to Jesus Christ, because on the third day he was raised up from the dead and he did not see corruption. Corruption there referred to decay of his body, and he was resurrected after a few days. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you see the word like that, talking about David, picture it in your mind. The Lord Jesus Christ. He was standing there as a type of the Lord Jesus. Now there's a reason why I'm bringing this matter up. In fact, this is just by the way. That's what confuses a lot of people, alright, when you are interpreting the scriptures. I was watching a man the other day on television, and it's something I've said here and there, again and again. And he was preaching to his church, listen to this, about why America is in trouble for not supporting Israel unequivocally. That is, whether Israel does right or wrong is irrelevant. America must support them. Whether they shoot innocent people or not is irrelevant. And he was prophesying judgment upon America for not being so staunchly in support of Israel. Israel being the nation in Palestine there. Do you understand what I'm saying? The physical Israel. Now this is what I want to understand. When he said that, and I smiled to myself, I'm not going to discuss Israel matter. No, you know my opinion about it. Did God promise them that land? None of my business. It's not what I'm discussing. Are they going to inherit it? I don't know. Did God command America to defend Israel? I really don't care. But one thing I know for sure is that God does not go around breaking rules to fulfill his covenant. Do you follow what I'm saying? There are rules in this generation. God does not go around breaking rules. And listen, this is Christian duty. It is not Christian duty to make sure we support that Israel as a nation. Now, get my point. I'm not biased. I'm not against them in any way. But let me tell you what Christianity is. Christianity is that you support truth and justice. Are you getting my point? Then God will use truth and justice to bring forth his fulfillment, if indeed he promised them the land. Are you getting what I'm saying? If a Jew shoots a Palestinian wrongly, as a Christian, tell him it is wrong. That's what Jimmy Carter does that makes people like John Hagee criticize him publicly. Jimmy Carter says, listen, if what you are doing is wrong, it is wrong. I don't care whether God gave you the land or didn't give you. Like I keep on saying, by the time Abraham's wife, Sarah, died, the same land that God promised Abraham, he bought the land to bury his wife. Why did he not say, oh yeah, I have an army. God promised me, all of you get away. There is a time for the fulfillment. Are you getting my point? You follow due process. That's just by the way. I'm making some issues here. Now, why did that man that was watching on TV that day preach the way he was preaching? Because they don't understand how to interpret scriptures. Until Paul came, the average Jew didn't understand that the promises that said Israel, Judah, was not only for the Jews. Paul said he has now broken down the wall of partitioning. Therefore, if any Jew anywhere in the world can claim a promise, any black guy anywhere can claim the same promise, and both of them can only claim it in Christ Jesus. If the Jew therefore does not believe, it is not his own. It is not his own at all. Because all the promises of God, the Bible says, are confirmed only in Christ Jesus. I've taught it here before. Jesus took all the blessings. There is no blessing left except to come to the Father through Jesus Christ. So he was not an arrogant man when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. He wasn't bragging. He had come to understand that all the blessings you are fighting for, I've collected it. By the time God looked and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. If you want any good to come into your life, hear him. By the time God said that, it was because he had bought something that nobody before him was able to reach. Moses could not reach it. Abraham did not get there. Samuel, that God bragged about his prayer, did not get there. So he said, if you come by Moses, you won't find anything remaining. If you come by Samuel, there's nothing there. If you come through Jesus Christ, then you discover the abundance of God's blessings. What am I saying? When you read things like this, that he said, God has sworn, the Lord has sworn to David. If you know what he's talking about. When he said that, a truth from which you will not turn back, of the fruit of your body, I will set up your throne. There's something you will notice. If you go and read Isaiah, Isaiah said, I and the children that the Lord has given me, we have what? Signs and wonders. Now, quickly open to Hebrews chapter 2. I'm not going to read all of that, but you'll notice something here. He explained a principle. That again, verse 13, he said, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me. He was quoting from what Isaiah said. And what was he referring to? He was describing the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was describing the fact that he opened the door to bring many sons to glory. Please, I'm going somewhere in all of this I'm saying. No. What am I saying here? So when you see him describe the fact that if your son will obey me, now, when that Psalm, which Psalm were we reading just now? I've closed mine. Psalm 132, yeah. I'm not looking at an issue here. I wanted to title this message, The Wisdom of God for Enthronement. But because it's so short, I'll just call it The Wisdom of God. That is, I'm going to read it very short. Maybe I'll talk about it full later. Alright? He said, of the fruits of your body I will set upon your throne. That is, Jesus took a throne. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's exalted high above all else. He has a name that is above every other name. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, he said, this is God's plan of that he said that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. This is what he said. That what God wants to do is to set his children, are you following what I'm saying, on his throne in all these kingdoms. Now, I want to bring out something. I'm going somewhere in this what I'm saying. If you listen to the message, Character of Destiny, that I preached some time ago, is something similar to what I'm describing. Now, When God makes promises, what he's saying here in effect is this. Look, David, it's not just for you. It's for those who will come into the earth through you. That's what he was saying. And he said, to those who believed in him, he gave them the power to be called sons of God. That is, the blessing that I gave to David is not for David alone, but for whom? His descendants. But this is the point I want to bring out here, which is what Christians must get. The blessings are not just theirs by birth alone. That is not just a birthright. It is something you must qualify to obtain. Are you getting my point? That is why even those who brag that God has promised, I will gather Israel from the whole of the nations of the earth and make them a nation again in Palestine. Now, are they right or wrong? I don't know. But one thing I know, which no American preacher should please, alright, try, none of them should try and disagree with me on this, because I know I'm right. Even when God promised, the fulfillment of the promises of God with Israel as a nation was always tied to repentance. Listen, God will have if you can read the Bible, sometimes you think God doesn't know what he's doing. He will look at the man and swear and swear and promise and promise and promise. Then in the next generation, he takes his children and kills all of them and destroys all of them and kills all of them out. Meanwhile, he promised the man and his descendants. What is the issue? Because he put a clause here all the time. It's always there. If your sons will keep my covenant. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, this blessing will continue in their generations on one premise, if they will keep my covenant. Therefore, God swore to David. Solomon misbehaved. He took the kingdom away in the time of Jeroboam. I don't know what you're hearing what I'm saying. Because it's as if you have to sin in one generation, then God judges as you are stepping into the next. With all the promises, eventually he scattered the whole nation. They can't find the nation anywhere. Not because he doesn't know what he's doing, but because he's the fulfillment and the sustenance of his promises are tied to certain behaviors on the side of the people that he wants to manifest those things in their lives. What am I saying? Like I said, I'm going to be very short. Now, in this life, there's a book I'm reading recently. If you know, I'll say it on Saturday again. Church Shift by Sunday Adelaja. If you love me, please read it. Church Shift, that's the name of the book. Church Shift. That is a church that is shifting. They used to be here, they are moving. Now, maybe one of the things, if I told them, Olayinka, after I read the book, I said, if I can find the man's address, I want to send him a copy of my book, How to Work for God. What was it? The thing he said in there, oh God, they excited me. Just what you've heard me say it again and again. I got the book like 2 days ago. I'm reading it since. I've been saying again and again and again that the work of God is not church work. That church is where you come to learn how to do the work of God. That when you gather in a place like this, the only person really... Okay, let me not say that so you don't get confused. The main work of God that you are doing here is preparing to do the work of God. That's part of working, the preparation. And what Sunday Adelaja was teaching in that book, oh God, is so beautiful. It just, well, something like what I've been saying for a long time. So finally I saw an older person, a more recognized person. Do you get my point? A man who pastors, at the time the book came out, a church of 25,000 people in a pure white country, and the church is 99% white, he being the only black man for a long time. Now a few black guys will have joined, but you see the cover of the book, you just see a sea of white heads, and there's one bobo in front holding the microphone like this, and that's the pastor, and he's the only black man you will see in that photograph. And in the book he tried to describe the fact that Christians should locate what he called their, in fact, when I was underlining, you know, when something is gelling with your soul, you know, like praise God, amen, 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 oh God, don't worry, I'm going to tell everybody to buy your book. They must all buy the book. If you can't buy it, join money with somebody and buy it and read half, tear the book in two. So that's it. So we swap in it. It's important. Read the book. What am I talking about? I'm bringing out the issue again that, all right, I've only said that God is establishing his kingdom on the earth, and he needs people to place in different areas of those kingdoms. Are you getting my point? Now, they don't get there by struggling. I'm bringing out an issue here. They get there by keeping covenants. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, when we talk about the keeping of covenants, it's simple. The summary of it is that they learn the ways of God and make it part of their life. Do you get my point? So that if any one of them will walk constantly in the ways of God in his life without, listen, it's a matter of fulfillment of promise. God must establish him on the throne of David in this particular area. You are getting what I'm saying? That is the way it works. Listen, God must, see, it's not as if God wouldn't be doing him a favor. God will be fulfilling a promise that he made. Do you get my point? That is, what establishes people and their descendants on the throne? Let me tell you something. I thought about my life, my personal, that's my own life. I have two sets of descendants, and that's the way life is. I have natural descendants, small boys, and one little girl. Do you follow my point? And then I have spiritual descendants. Paul will tell you about the role he played in the life of the Galatians. Do you understand? Now, you can look at that two ways. You preach to somebody he believed. That's one. He gave his life to Christ. He will stop being an unbeliever. But then there's another way that a man becomes in code your descendant as a teacher. When you preach him out of ignorance into light. I'm not remembering something here. If I, bank it, continue to preach the truth of God. Are you getting my point? Nobody that listens to those truths and walk by them will not be enthroned in life. Not one. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Because he explained that if they keep my covenant, their descendants will remain on the throne. I pray you will catch what I'm saying. I thought about it today. Was it last night into the early hours of this morning? I realized something. If I want to, in quote, you know, prosper is not about money. If I really want, in fact, Sunday that I wrote another book, I've not gotten that one. I've been chasing a car around to get me the book. He didn't get it for me. So finally, I bought it from the U.S. and is sitting with my brother-in-law now, waiting for when he'll come home. Titled, Money Won't Make You Rich. You have the book. You did not announce it all these years. Can you believe that? I've been chasing a car around for months, asking for this book. Finally, the girl got me church shift, and I said, wait, let me go and look for Money Won't Make You Rich. So I bought it online, but because they won't send it to Nigeria, and I said, okay, please send it to somebody for me in the U.S. Now, I'm looking at an issue here. If I really want to succeed in life, I thought about it. My success, personally, can only be described by the way my descendants are sitting on the throne of David. I don't know whether I get answer. I'm not talking about Akinolu. You will sit. I don't talk about Lubenga, my natural children. I'm talking about I continue. That's why I won't stop. I will not stop. You go hear words by force. Chinedu, how many cities do we have now? MP3. 71? 72. By this weekend, it will be 73. In a few days, it will be 74. Don't worry, it will continue growing. New books are ready to come out. Just that there are just logistic matters that's keeping them. Because I realized something again. I thought about it last night into this morning. That if this man will continue to teach truth, because it's the keeping of covenant. Do you understand? That's what I want to understand. When we say, okay, let me make a covenant with God. You don't make a covenant with God. It's not possible. He makes a covenant with you. You can't wake up and say, God, if you do this, I'll do this. God says, okay, I'm not doing it. All right, so what's going to happen? He's the one that will come that will tell you, if you will do this, I will do this. And actually, as Christians, you are forbidden from making any new covenant with God. I'm sorry, people are preaching. I say, do it. It's training. Yes, and as you grow up, listen, you know why you can't? Because your life is not your own. You cannot make an agreement with what does not belong to you. The only covenant you can make with God is, oh God, whatever you say, I will do. And that's what it means to give your life to Christ. You see, Christians don't get that point. They want to make, make a covenant with who? With what? With my life. Your life is not your own. The day you give your life to Christ, it belongs to God. The only thing you can do is to obey. Therefore, the keeping of God's covenant is the obedience to His truth at all times. What I mean is this. I'm a preacher. I like to use preachers as an example. There are certain things I must not do as a preacher. A lot of preachers misdo them. One day I pray that God will give me the opportunity to tell them to stop doing them. For example, the most dangerous spot on this earth is this place. Here. This place where I stand, so this instrument is the most dangerous instrument for a man's life on this earth. This one, called microphone. What do I mean? Once God makes people sit down while you stand, thereby opening their hearts to you, you must be extremely careful what you put inside. That's why James said, if they say application, job of teacher, say I know they do. You know what James said?
Yes.
He said, no, you shouldn't desire to be teachers. He said, because they will suffer harsher judgments than ordinary people. Why? They don't only sin, they cause people to sin. If you sin alone, nothing spoil. But when you sin, and then you cause the least of the brethren to stumble. People rushing for the position. They like the title because more than the pastors are respected. It's not a good title, look. It's a dangerous title. If you ain't prepared, don't go there. What am I saying? As a preacher, there are things I'm not supposed to do. That's why I use that as an illustration. For example, I'm not allowed to use this microphone. The fact that you're all seated here to pass my agenda to you craftily, I'm not allowed. Sometimes I say some things. In fact, you won't know the kind of discipline God pushes me into once in a while. Listen. For example, there are times I'm preaching. I say, Abel, let's go. I don't get you to talk again. You know why I say it? Because it's true. I would never come and say, praise God, the thing is so powerful. Let's leave it there and go. No. It's a lie. If it has finished, I'll tell you, guys, the thing don't finish. Where would they go? We'll preach another one next time. Because Elihu said, it is forbidden that I should use my mouth to flatter anybody. Else, my maker will soon take me away. That's what he said. Are you following what I'm saying? So as a preacher, I can't come and say, okay, what's going on? Pastor, we don't understand. The money is not enough. It's all right. No, not this way. Not this way. Praise the Lord. Then I'm trying to, you see, there's a fine line between that which is right and that which is dangerous. If I notice, do you understand, there's nothing wrong with that, that certain things are not in order. The Bible says the word of God is profitable for correction. So I get up, I begin to teach so as to correct. And I say it openly. Do you know why I'm saying this? Because these are the issues. And I perceive that we don't understand it. So let me begin to say it and teach it. But it's different from when I come and say, how much? We need 5 million. Oh, nothing spoiled now. Hallelujah. God said I should come and ask you, how many people can give 1 million? 1 million. And then, you know, you keep whining. Once the 5 million is complete, you come up for that. You're a thief. And God will enjoy you one day. You have to be careful. I'm trying to bring out an issue. As a preacher, there are things you just have to discipline yourself concerning. It is forbidden that you preach on giving to the poor when I'm hungry. I don't know what I understand. I don't know what I get the point. Paul had to speak to the Philippians. He said, I'm not saying this because I need what you have. God is my witness. I'm saying it because I want good to be accrued to your account. I want increase in your account. And he was being sincere about it. Preachers, you have to be careful. You must say things plainly, openly, simply. Paul said, we have renounced hidden things of dishonesty. We have renounced handling the word of God craftily.
He said, we have used the demonstration of truth, openness, to pass this truth across to you. I'm bringing an issue. You preach simply and straightforwardly. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. If I continue to do that, it is called the keeping of God's covenant as a preacher of the word. That way, I will be established in the truth, and everybody who listens to and believes and practices the things that have been so truthfully, you know, elaborated, will also be established on the throne of David. And anyone that follows them will be established on the throne of David. Then after a while, the whole world will say, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us go and learn his ways. What Christians don't understand is that they think they can pray, anoint themselves, prophesy into establishment on the throne without learning the ways and walking daily in the covenant. They misjudge the covenant. They start making God promises and say, yes, that's a covenant. That's not a covenant. So I've made a covenant with God. If you give me 1 billion, I'm going to use half a billion to sponsor the gospel. God said, I'll give you 1 billion. I'm going to take everything minus 10 naira. Fine. If you don't want, you leave it. So we now call that covenant. That God keeps covenant. If you make a promise and you keep, no. You can make a vow. That's it. You understand that? It ends there. You make a vow. You can't extract a promise by force with a vow. If you go in the Bible, vows actually in the scriptures mean only one thing. I will acknowledge you as the one who did it. That's all it means. Because God said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. You know, we don't understand. We don't say, when Jacob was leaving, they made a vow that anything that God will do, he'll give him 1 in 10. Let me ask you a simple question. If my son, Akinlu, is going to say, Daddy, if you will send me money, this one I'm going on a trip, when I come back, I'm going to give a tenth of it to you. Reason for a moment. And then I say, but if I slap you now, they say I'm wicked. If you need money, ask. You're returning one tenth of it to me. It has removed 9/10 from my pocket. Can't you get the point? Why should he impress me? Why does he impress God, however? Because it is not what he's getting. It is the acknowledgement. It's called the sacrifice of thanksgiving. What it means is that God, when you have done this for me, I will shout for the whole world to know that indeed you are God. I will not take any part of the glory to myself. So when Jacob fulfilled that, it was a vow. That is, the vow was that God, if you do it, I will say thank you. That's the summary of it. Go and read Psalm 51. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So it is not that you make God a promise as the keeping of the covenant. It's not. It's not. It is that you truthfully walk in integrity before him daily. Because the mistake we make is some promising God material things, thinking that that's the passport to increase. To establishment on the throne. God said, no, I want a good representative. I want somebody conformed with the image of Jesus Christ in that field of life. If he's an agriculturist, I want an agriculturist with the anointing of Christ Jesus. Then I will establish him on the throne of David in the area of agriculture. What I want to establish to believers is what I call the wisdom of God for enthronement. What's the wisdom of God? That a man, a woman, takes time out to discover the covenant of God in his daily walk. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not trying to make God promises. That's why I gave the illustration of the preacher. What he must not do and what he must do. He must never use the word of God deceitfully. He must never use it craftfully. He must take time out to explain the word of God truthfully, simply, with a single intention of blessing people and representing God properly to them. That's all. That's the fulfillment of a covenant in his own life. We could break that down into the life of a husband. What is the fulfillment of covenant as a husband? We can break that down into the life of a wife. What are the things that make the fulfillment of a covenant as a wife? We can break that down into business. What is it that an entrepreneur will say is the fulfillment of covenant? It is not the making of promises to God. I hope you got my point. Those are vows. You can make vows. Those are not covenants. So he said, if your sons will keep my covenant, you saw the way Solomon and Co. lost it. It was not because he did not give God sacrifices. It was because he started worshipping other gods. How did Rehoboam lose it? Because he started dealing harshly. Because the first time his father became established on the throne of his own father. You know, God gives people tests every day. The first time his father was established on the throne, it was God came and asked him, what will you want me to do for you? If he had said, oh guys, our time. You know, it is zoning. It has now been zoned to my part of the family. It's my time. We must be rich. We must make it. My friends must make it. You know what's going to happen? He will have lost the throne from the beginning. But because he asked God, I want wisdom that I may be a good king for these great people of yours. Rehoboam did not understand that. Rehoboam said, leave them. His friends said, it's our time to shine. This is, they don't want to pay taxes. We will finish them. He said, yes. We will flog them, yes. We will threaten them, yes. We will stop them, yes. We will collect all our taxes. They said, yes. So they went and said, listen, it is about me and my throne and my friends. Therefore, all of you, let me tell you, if you say my father's treatment was that he whipping with whips, wait, you are soon going to be beaten by scorpions. The people were not the object anymore. So he broke the covenant in that area. That's why he lost it. There's a fulfillment of a covenant as a king. He didn't get it. There's a fulfillment of a covenant, alright? In every area of life, and every Christian that fulfills God's covenant, are you getting my point? Will be established on the throne of David. I hope you got my point.